Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting or running their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
So, Mitch.
So, David.
I heard you fucked up another sewer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
That's a tough day on Friday, huh?
It was a rough day, yeah. We were in the midst of coaching calls, and I get a text. I miss a phone call from a number not saved in my phone, but I recognize the number.
Yeah.
And then I get a follow-up text. And they say that they're a recent sewer customer of ours. We just replaced their sewer like 10 days ago, and they were clogged up again. And so
whoops,
I had to scramble and get a guy over there to look at it. And he realized, so we replaced the sewer using pipe bursting. We actually talked about this job on the...
Did we talk about it on here?
I think we talked about it.
I think we did.
Unruly neighbor that called the cops.
Yeah. Is it the same one?
Yeah, same house.
Yeah, it's a double fuckery.
Yeah.
So double butt fuckery.
This job already went 5 days instead of two. We had an unruly neighbor that was, she had, I don't know, 40 plus phone calls in with the local code enforcement agencies. 20 voicemails for the code department on Saturday. So that just tells you kind of
how you were done.
No.
After you did the repair.
This was in the middle of the job. The job started.
Okay. This
job
was
went like
original when, part of the job.
Yeah. The job went like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday.
Okay.
So,
that,
so
that Saturday she was blowing their shit up. So
yep.
So the repair you just had to do, was it in her yard?
No, it was in our customer's yard, not the neighbor's yard. But
when
essentially,
you got over there, were you like, please, no, please.
No,
no
I already knew.
No,
I already knew exactly
no,
where
no.
it was going to be. So essentially we replaced the sewer using pipe bursting. And when they pull really hard, you have to give time, like you actually stretch the pipe when you're pulling it, and you have to give time for the pipe to shrink back up and relax. And we did not do that. I was so frazzled with the job running long, and I was so frazzled with the neighbor calling the cops on us and everything else. I was just trying to get out of there. And so I forgot to instruct the crew to leave time for the pipe to relax. And so they hooked it up, backfilled it, and it relaxed. After they hooked it up, it was probably mostly relaxed by the time they were done backfilling.
Do you think it took that long for that thing to back up?
Yeah.
Were they not doing laundry?
No, it just takes that long for the dirt to cave in. So it was 110 feet of pipe.
It was probably going through and just washing gravel through for a few days. And then, I gotcha.
Yeah. It was 110 feet of pipe and it stretched 8 to 10 inches.
You know, I've never had... You know, doing heating and cooling, like when you run into a job that's a real nightmare, like it never goes over like into the next day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like even if it's a 2 day job, usually there's nothing that can go that bad. But when it's excavation work, man, you just like when it goes bad, it goes real bad.
It goes real bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, let's be honest, anyone that does excavation, whether they be plumbers or the guys that put the original like sewer main in or utility crews, whatever, they all deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like this, let's be honest. If you're in business another 5 years, which you will be, like you'll have another one of those.
Yeah.
Like it just happens.
Yep.
The ability to like just move past it. Okay. I had the last 15 were great. We made money on all of those. This one we broke even on. It's not that. I mean, it's a big deal
because
it's a lot of money down the drain, but it's not like it's not going to break you.
Right.
Right.
And if you know how to set your pricing right and everything else, I mean, that's part of why excavation work is so expensive.
Yeah.
Is because you may have had 4 or 5 jobs go perfect and get done ahead of schedule, but that just means you're 4 or 5 jobs closer to that one that's going to get disastrous and take.
It's just like playing craps in Vegas. Like, yeah. It's literally a roll of the dice on on which one is going to be that way. You know eventually it's going to come up. It's just, you know, am I prepared? Do I have the money set aside? You know, have I put so many processes in place that the other 15 I did before this were successful? Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's, you know.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a challenge, but it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
So,
well, SpaceX, every once in a while, one of his rockets just blows up for the whole world to see, and so he just...
Yeah.
I just one rocket what, down. Let's go for another one.
What right. I thought was bad is like Friday was going to be a good day for you, right?
Yeah.
Like okay, we got three calls.
Yeah. I had built my schedule Friday to not have
I'm gonna go get my new truck. It's going to be fucking badass. It's going to be a great Friday. We're fantastic. Oh, just got kicked in the nuts.
Yep.
At least you had a cool truck.
Here's the nice truck.
Yeah.
Here's the cool thing about it though is I was able to get a guy out there to get him augered open and draining and camera it and verify that's what happened. And then I was able to scramble an excavator to get out there and shoring to get out there. My guys were all full.
I am very surprised that you got shoring and an excavator out that quickly that day.
Yeah. Within 2 hours, all of that was on site. So that text came in at 8 a.m. My guy was leaving the job by 10 a.m. Ordered the excavator and the shoring. I got there at about 12:30. The shoring showed up as I pulled up, and then the excavator was there like 10 or 15 minutes later, and 4.5 hours by myself, no other help, and was able to get the whole thing repaired and their sprinkler system patched back together. Cause you have to cut their sprinkler system out to get to where we have to dig. So
let me ask you a few questions about this. If one of your other guys is like, no, I'm going to do it myself. I've got the shoring. I've got the excavator. Will you let him get in the hole by himself?
I won't. And it's not like I have different rules than the other guys. It's just an experience thing.
Yeah.
I've spent so many years around excavations.
Yeah.
I know that I know how to use the shoring. I know how to use it with one person. And
yeah, you bench back, then put the shoring in. There's no possibility to cave in into the shoring that buries you.
Right. Yeah. You just knowing how to handle the equipment by yourself and everything else, I know I'll be safe. But my other guys, they're not as familiar with the shoring.
So
they're not as familiar with excavations. Right. Which we try to have 2 or 3 on excavation jobs. So.
Yeah. And you should, right?
Yeah.
What was the customer's reaction?
They were upset.
Pre and post.
They were upset. But it's kind of funny. Customers all think that all the problems happened to them. So they were like, of course this would happen on our job. Of course our job has the unruly
Everyone
neighbor.
Says that.
Of course
my
our
wife
job's
says
the hard
shit
pull.
Like that all
right?
the time.
And
it's just,
and so
I'm like, babe, relax. Like the, shit happens.
Here's how you handle customers in that condition. Most guys are afraid to admit that they're wrong. Most guys are afraid to admit they made a mistake, right? And so if I would have gone into that job, basically I went to that job.
No, this isn't our fault. This isn't this. You got to go in there going, this is our fault. We fucked this up. How do I fix it?
Yeah. And so John verified it with the camera. I told John, you know, right there on the phone, I told him, hold on just a second.
What do you mean, hold on a second?
My alarm is, somebody's going into our shop. So.
And you show up and he's like, we're back.
So as soon as I saw what John
tell
described.
Tell them it's our fault. We got it.
Well, John had me on speakerphone and I knew the customer's probably standing there. And I said, John, that's 100% my fault. And John's like, what do you mean? He goes, John didn't realize the pipe would shrink back. He thought the installers just didn't get it connected.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, this isn't the installers. It was connected, but then it pulls back because it pulled hard. And I didn't instruct the installers to hold off and wait for it to relax. And there's a process that we typically do for that. And I just didn't do it. And so then I get there on site. And first thing I do is I go ring the doorbell and I tell the customer, like, I'm sorry for this. This is all my fault. And, you know, I skipped a step and I was so distracted with the neighbor and all the other slowdowns of the job that we forgot to give time to see if the pipe was stretched and was going to relax. And so, you know, it's done relaxing. It relaxes back in like an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah.
So it's done now. Like, I'll just dig down. We're going to put it back together. I'm not charging anything. This is just under warranty and it is what it is. And she's like, okay. And then I get her all fixed up and she was like, I really appreciate this. And keep in mind, we never raised the price on her. When the job went when the job went from 2 days to 5 days, it was a $13,500 job.
Yeah.
And we never raised
Lost
the price
on
her then.
Job.
And then you have to come back and do it all again, you know. Not the whole thing, but
yeah.
Enough
to lose money.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that, like, everybody has mistakes. Everybody, there's problems all the time. It's, you can't avoid the problems. It's your character is judged on how you address the problem, how you handle it when it comes.
Yeah. Business ownership is like the ability to handle difficult situations.
Yeah.
90% of the, like, it just is innate.
Yeah.
Things are going to come up. You're going to misspend money. You're going to fuck up a job here. Like, just how you handle yourself in those situations, it really dictates, like, how your company's going to grow.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, well, if you were a jerk on that job, oh, this isn't me, and you tried to ding her, guess what? 15 people now know that you're an asshole.
Right.
And you're not getting, you know what I mean?
Right.
And those 15 people may tell another 15 people.
Yeah.
Like, that's to the detriment of your business.
Yeah.
Like, and own, I mean, it, we, man. Own we it could move
have,
on.
We could have gone back to her and said, we need to charge more because of the unique conditions with that. Like, I've never, ever seen clay tile buried in gravel. And so
the initial dig,
like, we could have gone back and got some extra money, but we would not have been able to get enough money to make it worth it on our end. And at that point, why even risk it?
Yeah.
At that point you take,
I told her it was this, let's just, we got to do it. Move on.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's going to be a heck of a promoter for the company whenever we stick to our price and we make good on our word and we overcome all those hurdles.
Yeah.
So it's no different. Like that truck I bought. We went and test drove it a week before I bought it.
Piece of shit.
Oh. And it broke down 4 miles into the test drive. And
it's a good looking truck.
It blew a fuel hose off of the fuel filter.
That's it.
And it sprayed diesel all over the engine, damn near caught fire, but left us stranded in the middle of an intersection.
Dude, how fucking hilarious would it have been? I know. It was on fire.
Right.
Like, if that had been a gas engine, it's on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's on fire.
I mean, it was quite the smoke show. I'll say that. There was a lot of smoke.
Just waiting. Is this going to catch?
Yeah.
And so, we should probably move back.
You know, the dealership, like, I'm in the customer service business and they're in the customer service business. And so they were, you know, I've been reached out by at least five other people other than the sales guy. I've been reached out by like five other people at the dealership following up, making sure, like, apologizing for the incident, making sure we're okay with, like, how they not, like, obviously they know we're okay, but, like, making sure that, you know, we're good with how they handled it. And
yeah,
and,
of course,
you know,
well, they don't want that one bad review in the car selling business.
All right.
Can kill you.
Yeah.
Can kill you.
And really, like, you could get upset about it, but really, so what happened? And we now know this.
I mean, you could, but
I wouldn't have bought it. Yeah. This truck's, it's got a 6.7 power stroke in it, and there's a fuel filter up on top of the engine. And it's got three lines to it. I assume supply, return, and then feed to the engine, I assume. But one of the fuel lines popped off that fuel filter. And basically they snap on, they slide on, and then there's a little plastic clip that has to go through the end of the hose over a shoulder on the fuel filter housing.
Yeah, clips it into place.
And they did not get the clip over the shoulder. And so that truck is, it had 24,300 miles on it when I bought it. And it's supposed to have a fuel filter change every 24,000 miles. And so they told me before I test drove it, we just did all the 24,000 mile service, you're good. And you never really know, did the dealer actually do it?
No.
Right?
Most of the time it's bullshit.
Most of the time you're thinking it's bullshit.
It's bullshit.
I took this as proof that, okay, they did.
Yeah.
Because they replaced the fuel filter, didn't get the hose on right. So at least they're honest in their, you know, I can understand mistakes. Like, I've stripped screws. I've broken stuff. I've broken toilets trying to install them. You know, I dropped a water heater down a set of stairs one time and put a big dent in it. You know, like, mistakes happen.
Yeah.
And so,
it's just owning up to the mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, that's what separates real customer service from just customer service.
Yeah.
You know?
And then the truck had two other little problems with it. One of the AC vents was broken, like the little louvers that you move.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a Ford. It's only got 24,000 miles on it. Of course it's broke.
No, this had been like impacted with something. No, you could tell. Like, it wasn't like, oh, that's kind of broke. No, it's like, shit, somebody punched that.
That lady's ankle.
Yeah. But, there was a panel up in the front bumper that was like not clipping in very well and kept coming loose. And so, you know, I tell them, like, yeah, I'm going to buy it, but I want those two things fixed. And they were like, sure, no problem. You know, we saw them. Parts are coming. And so they fix the AC vent and they the panel.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Apparently Ford has an ordering issue. They ordered a panel and they got the wrong side of the panel.
Is this the same thing as, like, didn't you have issues with ordering Ford for a radiator?
Right. Yeah. So yeah. Maybe that dealer...
You know what, I can't tell if it's a Mitch problem or a Ford problem. Like, you're just
I'm
blind
the common denominator.
Just a blind trust. No, that you have with their.
Oh, well,
they're failing. Like, yeah. Why would you? No, I'm out.
Yeah. So
I'm out.
They ordered the vent and got it in. The panel came for the wrong side of the bumper. There's a left and a right, and it came for the wrong side.
You got to hold my hand up. It's a L. That's a left.
So
come on, man.
Whenever I go sign paperwork on the truck, I'm taking another look at it and I realize the reason that panel doesn't fit is because there's a tiny dent in the bumper. Something's backed into it or it bumped into something. There's no scratches in the bumper.
Yeah.
But they hit something relatively soft, but enough to dent the bumper.
My rear bumper's dented because I've backed into all kinds of shit.
Yeah. And
I
even told the guy up front, I'm like, I don't care about the dent. It's hardly noticeable. Like, I don't mind the dent too bad, but I want the panel to clip in, right? Because otherwise the panel's going to get ripped off in a car wash.
Yeah.
And
or driving down the highway and just...
Yeah, there just gone, right? Off.
Shit.
Hit a motorcyclist, kill him, you know? And so, you know, they were trying to get the bumper bent back in place so this panel works or whatever, and they never could quite get it. And finally, I'm like, you know... They're dealership body shops. They don't actually want to do body work. They just want to replace panels.
They're parts replacers.
Yeah.
There's no really great body shops anymore.
Right.
If you haven't noticed.
And so I'm like, okay, I'm ready to own the truck. Like, I'm tired of waiting.
Yeah. Where's my shit?
Day for day. So I'm like, how about I come pick it up and you guys figure out this bumper thing later? Well, I picked it up and spent like 45 minutes in my garage with a couple of pry bars and some hammers and got the panel, got the bumper.
Yeah.
Back to where now it'll support the right panel. So
I don't understand that either. Like, back in the day, and when I say back in the day, I just mean like 15 years ago, 20 years ago, like someone would have been out there with a hammer. Like, let's see if we can get this fixed.
Yeah.
And now it's just like,
there's so much protocol.
We talked about this.
That's not my job thing, right? My job is to install bumpers, not bend them back.
Yeah. Was it last night or today? I think it was last night. We're trying to set the event up for February, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, the customer service is just like, you can't get a response. You got to, like, it's, they make shit take 3 times longer than it should. And you literally said to me, customer service just isn't a point of emphasis anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
what I think causes a lot of that is you have so many claims on social media of your most profitable customers or your least difficult customers, right? And the most difficult customers, the ones with all the demands or the ones that do the small jobs or least profitable or whatever. And it's, I think people are taking that too far.
Yeah.
And they're creating conditions to where a normal customer appears demanding. And so then they're like, well, I don't even want that customer because they want too much. And it's like a lazy way out.
Yeah, it is a lazy way out. I just.
But it's about holding yourself to a higher standard and making sure that you're not doing just enough to make them happy. You're doing enough to where there's no doubt about it. They're happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And what's crazy, like in the service industry, in our industries, right? If you can just be great with customer service and give someone just a little bit more than they expect in this day and age, you're hands and feet above everyone else.
Right.
It's amazing. Like, you know, guys talk all the time like, oh, well, how do I get customers and how do I get, you know, new customers and how this thing, treat your existing customers like they're kings and queens.
Yeah.
And you'll get 20 more customers because of that.
Yep.
Like, it does not take, like, back in the day, I keep saying back in the day, I don't know why, but like in the 90s and early 2000s, everyone was that way.
Yeah.
Everyone gave great customer service. The work may be shit, but the customer service was great.
Right.
Now it's like the work could be, who knows, a coin flip, and you know the customer service is going to be shit.
Yeah.
And people just accept it.
Yeah.
So just set yourself apart from them by just giving a little extra. Yeah. It just takes a little bit of extra customer service, and you're better than everyone else that they've ever had at their house.
Yeah.
It's insane to me.
I had this guy was considering joining Tradewinds. We chatted for a little bit, and anybody that's considering joining Tradewinds, I kind of give them like a free coaching call on their, on their sales call.
And by free coaching call, we mean Mitch is vetting you.
Yeah, a little bit, right? Like, I'm testing to see kind of how well you respond to coaching and stuff like that.
He's calling you and saying, hey, buddy, what's going on?
Yeah. and so this guy called me back. He has not joined Tradewinds, but he sent me a text message and said, hey, do you have time for a quick phone call? I got a problem I wanted to bounce off you. And I'm like, sure. And so essentially this guy didn't do a very good job of customer service. He told a customer he was going to have the work done one day. He didn't get it all done that day. He told him he would return the next day. Something came up and he had to call him back, and he was like 4 or 5 hours late the next day.
Ugh.
And the customer's getting all antsy and everything else. And he, this guy was like, you know, hey, this customer's lighting me up with like a 2-star review. What do I do? And I'm like, what do you mean? What do? You earned it.
Yeah. Show up when you say you're going to show up.
Yeah. Like under promise and over deliver.
Yeah.
And if you think you can get the job done in a day, tell them it's going to be a day, day and a half. It might be a long day. Like, I don't know. Don't say I can get it done in a day, guaranteed.
Well, and even the first deal, they would probably give you a pass on.
Right.
But the not showing up immediately.
But it's
the next
when you said, I'm going to come out here next Thursday morning and you're not there till noon.
That's what earned the two.
Yeah.
Like, that's what earned the 2-star.
Yeah. And so I'm like, dude, you got to wear that with pride and take it as a learning lesson and move on, because there's nothing more you can do.
Yeah.
And I said, that's not, you know, the conversation started was this customer's unpleasable and everything else. I'm like, no,
dude, that's on you, bro.
You set expectations and then didn't follow through. Like you think the customer had to hear, I'll be here in tomorrow morning. The moment the job ran long, you could have told the customer, I got somewhere I got to be tomorrow morning, but I'll be here midday. And they would have been okay with it.
Yeah.
But it's the moment you
overpromised. They may not have been happy, but they'd have been like, okay, at least he's being honest. Here we go. And then you back it up with like, show up when you say you are.
Yeah. The moment you overpromised and underdelivered, you earned it.
Yeah. In the HVAC space, it took me one time of not getting equipment to never promise being there the next day again.
Yeah.
Like one time I was like, I'll pick up the equipment in the morning. We'll be here, blah, blah, blah. I call that morning. They always have the stuff up. They don't have it this time.
Yep.
Oh, shit. And that time, they didn't have it for 3 days.
Yeah.
Those people were out of air for 3 days. And from then on, it was, I will be in contact with you in the morning. 99% of the time, I will be here. If for some reason they don't have it,
yep,
we'll reschedule or whatever. Did it ever happen again? No.
No.
But it made me change my process.
Yeah, change it to where you can underpromise and overdeliver.
Yeah, right. I mean, I had to. I felt bad, but there was literally nothing I could do. But it was still my fault. I still said yes, I will be here.
Yeah, and I would be like telling somebody that we'll be here rain or shine, and then you cancel the job because of rain.
Yeah,
it's like hold on, you just said rain or shine.
Yeah,
and now you're canceling the job.
I hate the overpromise underdeliver.
Yeah,
I have a similar story. Sorry to cut you off, guys.
You know what, motherfucker?
There's this. I've been kind of mentoring this guy on Instagram. I know him. He's lives somewhat near us, but he's wanting to get into the video production business side of things. And he's, I've been giving him some advice, but this last time I decided to change my tone with him. But he's asking me how do you pitch for businesses, and like, what do you put in your contract and this and that? And he's like looking at business level. And then I just like went to his Instagram page, and his videos were just not near what they need to be on a professional level. And I just told him, and he kind of took it to heart. But the next day he's like, hey, thanks for humbling me.
Yeah.
Because just like he's in a similar instance, people, they don't realize they're giving bad customer service. They're like, well, what do I do? I'm like, well, let's go. You got to get better at your craft.
Yeah.
But he's like thinking way down the line of like, oh, how do I go in? And I'd be giving him advice, but I didn't take the time to go and like look at his stuff. I said, dude, your video is shaky, this and that, and this and that, get this. And he's just like, he had an inflated idea of like what his product was. His product just sucks. It's the Alex Ramazzi thing where he's like, no, your product just sucks.
Yeah.
No, just can't. You ain't gonna make it, dog.
Well, and that's real with a lot of people is they like to think that what they're doing is perfect and everything that's going
on is special and no one else is doing it.
Well, no, like everything, all their problems are because of a difficult
because
customer
of other people.
Or, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
There's no self awareness there.
Right. And you'll find that you can, being honest about who's truly at fault and taking ownership and taking responsibility for the failure mm-hmm. will get you so much farther than anything else. You see it in athletics all the time. You know, sports team loses, and the sports teams that continue to lose are like the receivers are complaining that the QB has accuracy issues,
yeah.
or the O-line can't give the QB time, right?
Yeah.
The teams that lose but then don't make a habit of losing, you'll see the O-line being like, I got to do better at my job because I'm not giving the QB enough time. You'll see the QB who knows he isn't given enough time say, like, I got to improve my accuracy.
I've got to bail out sooner.
I got to learn to be accurate under pressure.
Yeah.
Right? And then you see the receiver saying, like, I got to do better at getting to the ball. The QB didn't have much time to throw, and I got to be able to move.
Yeah, I got to come to the ball.
Right.
You know, I've got to let him know I'm open.
And so, like, the Chiefs have had some players. Who was our safety? Tyrann Mathieu. I did not like that guy.
Nah,
he was a good safety.
Yeah,
he's
a douche.
Every time
he's still in the league, plays for New Orleans.
I know. Every time a big play occurred on the other side of the field from him, he was throwing his hands up.
Yeah, like
staring at the guy, like, "Come on, man!" And it's like, dude, that's not the leadership you need from a team.
Yeah,
what you do is you go over there.
You say, "Hey, in that coverage situation, we need to be doing this."
You're right.
Like, hey, man, let's get it. We got it this next play. We got him.
He was too quick to blame the other players for failure instead of helping them prevent it from happening again. You know? So that's why I don't.
Good players aren't necessarily great leaders. It is what it is.
Right.
And thankfully, in this case, he realized like where he was wrong. Like the next day, we kind of stopped messaging. It was like late at night. But then the next morning, he's like, hey, I just want to say thanks for humbling me. Like he realized that he had an inflated idea of like what his talent was, and he was kind of chalking maybe some of his shortcomings in business to just like, oh, I don't know the right contract to sign or the right offer.
Yeah, he wasn't getting work because of he didn't understand business.
Yeah,
he wasn't
like
getting
30,
work
yeah.
because his work
that's,
was shit.
That's like people who suck at sales and they think they have a lead generation problem or a marketing problem.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, your sales suck. Like your average ticket and your conversion is horrible. Why would you spend money to get more leads to keep doing that?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I mean? Like this kid, like he's like 30 something, like he doesn't have a car, he doesn't have the proficiency, he doesn't have the communication skills ever. So it's like, he's kind of like stuck on this, I have another friend that this guy is looking up to where he does video for Chick-fil-A. He's pretty successful at it. And he sees this guy and he thinks that unless he's able to get there, then he's going to miss out on. I said, dude, like, what you're capable of, like, Chick-fil-A is just, you know, the brink of what you can be capable of a video. Like, focus on, like, mastering your craft and getting better, not like you're trying. It sounded like he was trying to just latch on to some sort of lucrative, like, niche business thing that people are doing. That's just the best way I can describe it.
Yeah,
just like,
this wasn't happening.
Yeah.
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 I mean, you can't think you have the best product. You have to know you have the best product.
Yeah.
And you can't know that without outside sources feeding that to you. And we're not talking like your parents saying, oh my gosh, this is the best ever. Because all parents say that, right? this isn't sixth grade band.
You didn't know my mom. She'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, it's ironic you say that because he actually told me that because he was convinced in his mind that he has like this special take on this whatever. And so just so he kind of has that mindset of, like, oh, well, what I'm doing, no one else is doing, and it's special.
Right, yeah. Right. Everyone loves to think that what they're doing, nobody else is doing, and very few actually are.
Right.
I'm not doing anything crazy with our plumbing company.
No.
It's a plumbing company just like any other plumbing company, right?
Yeah.
Now, we do provide exceptional service. We've got an amazing track record with Google reviews and the customer service that goes along with that and everything else. So we're better than most companies in that area, but we're failing by comparison against most companies in other areas. You know, it just kind of depends. Yeah. So,
well, and everyone has their niche too.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone has the things they're naturally good at, and everyone has the things they need to work on.
There's,
so
we talk about it in Tradewinds a lot. There's space for everyone.
Yeah.
Like don't think that there's not enough work. There's so many great big businesses and blah, blah, blah. No.
Yeah.
There's a space for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, there are customers that love great customer service and don't care that it's expensive.
Yeah.
Maybe that's your niche.
The old movie, The Office Space, a lot of the listeners to this show, Matt, might be a little too old of a movie for you.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
But
stop. Are you saying we're old? I love me some Office Space, man. Oh, that's great.
So the Office Space, the general premise is it's a technology company and they bring in these outside consultants to like streamline the company and make it more efficient. And essentially everybody realizes these consultants just they're going to go through layoffs and the consultants decide who are we laying off.
Yeah, they go through four. They take four people and they're like, okay, one person can do these four people. Which one of those four is going to stay? The other three are fired.
It's Doge.
And
we can get rid of those guys pretty easy.
Right. And so there's a guy who is a very disgruntled employee and he does not speak well to customers at all. He doesn't speak well to anybody at all. He's very harsh. He's very abrasive in this movie. And so the consultants are like, what do you do? And he was like, well, I communicate between the customers and the engineers because you don't want the engineers talking to customers.
They can't talk to customers. They don't know how to talk to customers.
They don't know how to talk to customers. That's my job. And they were like, well, what would you say you do here? He's like, I talk to the people. I'm a people person. And he's like having to like campaign.
Don't you fucking understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah. Don't you know what I'm saying? I'm a goddamn people person. And he's
the engineers can't talk to customers.
He's like arguing with these consultants. That like he's having to convince them he's a people person, and that's the number one sign that you might not be a people person is if you have to convince somebody you are, right? Yeah. And so he ends up getting let go, and he's about ready to like kill himself, but he ends up like getting in a car crash or something and making a bunch of money.
He's in a wheelchair, a quadriplegic, but he's healing. We don't know if he's that way forever, and he's like, maybe someday this could happen to you. It's gonna be great. And you're like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
In that same movie, he invented the jump to conclusions, Matt. It's like a magic eight ball, but instead you like jump on it.
The jump to
it's got like different conclusions that you jump to.
Why? Yeah. Why? Why would? Wouldn't I just choose which one I want to jump to?
Yeah.
It's awful. It's
pretty silly. Ultimately, if you just got awareness about the quality of work you're doing from the customer's perspective, not yours, not your mom's, not your wife's, like the general public and verify you have a good product.
I feel like I have no one that is just like patting me on the back all the time. Like you say that and I'm like, I'm thinking about it. Like,
you don't want people patting you on the back.
No, I'm just saying, I don't know if I've ever, like someone's just been like, regardless of how shitty I was, they were like, oh no, this is great, honey. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I feel like I've had a lot of,
I feel sorry for the people that have that. Because
I feel like I've had a lot of very honest people in my life that are like, you stop.
Yeah.
Like, stop it.
Yeah. Like to Austin's reference, the friend of his, it sounds like that guy produced a couple of short clips and showed his mom. And his mom was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I've never seen video of this quality before. And no offense to him or his mom, but they have zero idea what makes a good video.
Yeah.
And so you're getting
you're
getting advice from somebody who is not a subject matter expert. And then you're taking that advice and allowing yourself to get a big head about it. You know what I mean?
I told him like the big turnaround thing was I said, like, basically stop all pursuing of business and this and that and go like get better at the craft of video.
Right. Yeah. Until you can actually be a craftsman.
Yeah, it's like the guys that have been a plumber for 2 years and they want to go start their own business.
Yeah.
It's like, hold on.
You haven't learned near enough yet, bro.
Yeah, you got to learn more about the trade before you can do that. Like, I'm not saying you won't be a successful business owner, but it's going to be really hard to run a business when you don't even know what you're doing.
It's hard to hire really great employees and then they come in and realize that you don't know as much as them or even close. Like there's something like when it's close and you're at a real high level, both of you are at a high level, it's different.
Yeah.
But when it's obvious,
it never works out.
Those guys are always either screwing you out of money, taking your work, or quitting.
Yeah.
Like that, it's just, it's not a good situation.
Right.
This friend also, it is kind of weird, but he's graduated from high school, doesn't have a car, doesn't have a job. And one of his thing was like, I don't want to work. I don't want to work a real job. I want to get this. He sees this other guy who's successful at producing videos for Chick-fil-A. I want to get on this Chick-fil-A thing. It's like this like lucrative business thing.
He
has all these emotions where he wants to be there, but he just does. I called him out on that too. I said, you have all this emotion and passion. You just don't know how to turn it into actionable.
He doesn't realize how much work it took for that person to get the Chick-fil-A videos.
And the reason why
he could have been years and years of dedication and hard work and struggling to get there.
Alex Hormozi just posted
high school
today
and then get there.
Alex Hormozi just posted today that person that you think got lucky, before you chalk it up to luck, go put in twice the effort for twice the time and then tell me if you think they got lucky.
Yeah.
And nobody will ever do that.
We talk about it all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody will ever do that. But I think it was just a show recently where I still have like some level of admiration for even the con artists. And I think what we were talking about on the other show was like the Epsteins and the Diddies. Like, don't get me wrong, what they did is bad. However, you still have to have a level of respect for their foresight and their aptitude to pull off that big of an operation and for it to go unknown for that long. Like if you could use those forces for good, man.
Yeah.
You could have like rockets catching themselves and tunnels and
you
want to
just,
you know what? To kind of bun up this topic, my friend, he was looking at that and he was thinking it was some sort of like special niche thing that he could just latch on to. But I said, literally, that's all that person's doing is he's just aligning basically his skills. That's basically just customer acquisition, like getting to know someone, producing product for them. It's great. They like him. They want him back. Like he didn't see it as that. I said, that's all the guy is doing. Like he worked for Chick-fil-A. Then he basically started his own business. He was already friends with the people. I said, all he's doing is he's just like, you know, I didn't say exploiting, but he's just, you know, using his contacts and, you know, networking skills.
Not a bad word.
And so that's like I told, and he from his point of view, he just looked at it as like it's just some sort of lucrative thing. I'm like, no, all he's doing is just turning someone into a customer. Like,
yeah.
So now that we're like 35 minutes into the show,
do you want to talk about anything or just wrap it up? I mean, look, it is Thanksgiving.
It is
Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this the day it's released, it's the day after Thanksgiving. So we're having
double Thanksgiving this year. We're gonna have Thanksgiving on Thursday, regular, and the Chiefs play Friday at 2.
Yeah. Yep.
Dude, we're gonna do a big giant ham, mashed potatoes.
Chiefs game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cream and casserole, deviled eggs, just for the Chiefs game.
Yeah,
there may be no one there. I may eat that whole 8-pound ham by myself.
There you go. I won't be there because I'll be at the game.
You weren't invited. So,
I'm a deviled egg guy.
And you were invited to the game, damn it. So,
we literally, like an hour ago, Janine was like, what do you think about just making a ham and doing this? And I was like, I saw a post on
Facebook that's literally you. I thought of you. It says like, no, I'm not going to your event, but I still want to be invited.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
the option to say no, at least. Come on.
Are you going to the game on Friday?
Yep.
I mean, I know you have season tickets.
It's going to be chilly. It's going to be mid-20s for tailgating and mid-30s for the game. But
who's going?
So Danielle's not. She doesn't go to the cold games.
She doesn't go to any game under 60.
60-ish.
55. Maybe. Yeah,
60 would even have to be like during the day. Like a 7 p.m. game at 60 degrees, she'd be like, it's too cold.
He's like direct sun contact.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't blame her.
I don't blame her.
When the wind's whipping out in there and you're in the upper bowl, it's brutal.
Yep.
It can be brutal.
So we're, when she doesn't go, I give the boys the option to take a friend. It's Grant's turn.
Grant.
So he's going to take his friend Osmaro.
Nice.
And
so you, Grant, Osmaro, and Mason gonna go?
Yep, and Mason.
Okay.
And then we're actually there's
boys time. Nice.
There's a acquaintance of mine here in town. She's actually semi popular.
She You only have four tickets.
Yeah, I know.
I'm counting four.
They've bought three tickets.
Oh, they're tailgating with you.
They're going to ride in with us and tailgate with us and then ride home with us.
Gotcha.
So we're going to pack seven in the Lightning. So it'll be a little bit of a full boat
what?
There. Yeah.
Five in the back?
Three adults, four kids.
Oh, the kids will be fine.
Yeah. So I'm sure her and her boyfriend will lap sit in the front seat and then we'll cram the four kids in the back. So it'll be all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to, I'm literally picturing it in my brain. Like, I think you just put five in the back.
Yeah, maybe.
And make
two on the floor. I don't know. I'll let them figure that out. I'm driving. That's all I know. Nobody's sitting on my lap. So, but,
oh my God. Who's going with you?
Her name's Curry Bulger. She is.
Is that Chris Bulger's?
Yeah.
Widow?
Sister-in-law.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So, she is, the local Blue Springs family where, she went to visit her family in Iowa and an EF5 yeah. tornado Ugh. Hit the house and killed her husband, her two youngest children, and her mother.
Yeah.
All in
an instant. Kid we went to school with.
Yeah.
Great dude.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful
kind of
tragedy.
Kind of a hard thing there.
What's that been now? 3 years?
Yeah, I think about three years ago. So.
Still awful.
Yep. But she's local here. It's she works out at the same gym I do. We chat online quite a bit.
It's amazing to me how resilient people can be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'll be curious too. Like she just had another procedure because her leg got really messed up
in that
thing. She just had another procedure in her leg, like a week or two ago. So heck, she might even be on crutches. I don't know. So
you're going to need another vehicle, bro.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, if she needs the front seat and everyone else has to cram in the back, it is what it is.
That's true.
So
screw
it. The cool thing is like we traverse? Get the front row parking. So it's not like she has to walk all the way across the parking lot or anything else.
And I will say this. So we took George to the Chiefs game and this is going to sound bad, but I don't mean it in a bad way. The tailgating there just ain't the same as the white trash tailgating out in the parking lot. Like every game I've ever been to, like I have this, you know, just feeling of what tailgating is because of it. You know, you're just out there. Everyone's just drunk and food and everyone's friends of friends and it's just great. And it's like, it's so blue collar.
Right.
And then like where you guys tailgate, it's like so white collar.
Yeah, it's the
like,
executive lot. So
like I just felt it was great. I felt so out of place. I'm looking around. I'm like,
hold your pinky up as you're eating the kebab.
I'm like,
rib.
This is not like if we were in a real world situation, these people wouldn't even talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
It's one thing. It's one thing if a guy's tailgating out of the back of like a clapped out 01 Suburban.
Yeah.
It's another thing if the guy's tailgating out of a $110,000 tailgate bus.
Yeah. It was just, it was just different.
Domesticated.
You know, it was, yeah. I just felt. I was like,
it wasn't feral enough for David.
Yeah.
Like as a house cat.
And then I look over at Mitch and I'm like, this ain't Mitch. Like this ain't Mitch either. Like he's blue collar. He's get after it. You know? And I'm just like,
It's a different vibe.
Now, it's just different.
That game was different because it was a Monday night game and the Monday night games have a fairly low tailgate attendance.
Yeah.
Just because people are
still
working.
Up like 10 minutes before. And then it was like, okay.
Yeah. I would imagine the tailgating on this one will be pretty wild because
no one's working.
Right. It's a Friday after Thanksgiving. It's the Raiders. So there's rivalry.
Yeah, it'll be a little dirty out there.
It's not cold enough to be like bitter cold.
No.
20s and 30s is not horribly cold.
No.
Right. So no.
I have two large Milwaukee heated vests if you want to take
one. We got tons.
Okay.
Yeah, we got enough for the whole family.
If you got a couple of batteries, I got two sitting in the shop doing nothing.
No,
we're welcome to take them.
Plenty covered there.
Okay.
So, but 20s and 30s, I might not even need a heated vest. So,
it's
20s and 30s
weird.
When you're walking around is not too bad.
Yeah, but you're not going to be walking around. You're staying in one spot for 4 hours watching the game.
Playing bags, drinking beer.
I'm talking about the game.
Oh. Yeah.
You think I'm talking tailgate. I'm talking 30, the game.
I think it's going to be sunny. Maybe.
I have no idea.
Sunny in 30s is not bad at all.
I haven't checked. You know what I'm going to be doing? Eating an 8-pound ham, watching the fire grow.
There you go.
Yeah. Gaining weight.
There you go.
Jenny, she looked at me the other day. She was like, so I started working out again, right?
Uh-huh.
She's like, you need to put some weight back on. I was like, yeah, I know. I literally ate an entire pumpkin pie in the last 4 days. I love this time of year, man. I love it.
I just told it. So my goal was to bulk to 225 and then lean back down to 200.
That's out of your weight.
I'm trying. Like right now I'm 210. And it's like, I don't know if I can get to 225. Like,
you want me to make you an 8-pound ham?
Well, I got
to
put 15 pounds on in 3 months.
Dude, that's tough.
Because I'm not leaning down until like February or March. And so I got to put 15 pounds on. Like, and I don't want to just put 15 pounds of fat.
Are you going to try to ski the end of February? The end of January with 10 extra pounds on?
Yeah. That's the plan.
Ugh, that's so fun.
But you can't, like,
slow.
Putting that much without... Like being natural without being on steroids, it's hard to put on that much muscle that fast.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
I'm having trouble putting on anything right now.
Yeah, it's like I could just gorge myself and get fat.
I don't even think I can do that now.
Like, I know I'm dirty bulking, but I'm still monitoring my body fat percentage. Oh my
God, dirty bulking. Yes, I'm not shitting you. Yesterday, I've been making fun of you for eating fast food, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
I stopped at McDonald's yesterday and got a double quarter pounder with cheese.
Yeah.
Large fries. Mm. Ate it all. An hour later, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel so bad.
Yeah. No,
wasn't sick. Like, I didn't throw up, but I just... Like, my body was like, no.
Yeah. My goal was to get to 225 and not exceed 18% body fat. And
that's not happening, dude.
I'm at 210 and 18% body fat, but I'm like, if I race to 225, I'll be way over 18% body fat. And then it's just putting fat on to take fat off. Like, it's dumb. So
I don't want to crush you here. You don't need to be at whatever specific weight. The weight means nothing.
Right.
Weight means nothing.
Right.
Just be strong and be as lean as you can and be strong.
Yeah.
Who cares what the fuck, if the number says 175 or 185 or 200, it doesn't fucking matter.
It does when you're tall. So like the taller you are, the more muscle you have to have for it to look right.
No, it still doesn't matter what the number for weight is.
Right.
It's
right,
the
right.
look.
Right.
Like the number.
That's why I say 225 at 18%. It's not just 225.
And
I want to get down to 200. I want to be 200 pounds at 10% body fat is the end goal. And so,
I mean, Bruce Lee was 130 and could do 52 finger pushups.
Yeah. But he's also like 5'4".
I know. so say you would take 130. So 5'4", 100% of his weight was 130, right? If you broke it down and then, so at your height, like, to be honest, like 175, 180, you would look like a chiseled
dude,
piece of machinery.
That's scrawny.
No.
180?
No, that's chiseled. Not scrawny.
Yeah, it is. For my height, I've been.
Mitch, you're only like 6'2".
I've been 175.
But not cut. Not muscled out.
Yeah.
And you probably look good.
I got a photo of it. I'll
show
you.
Did you look good? Let me see it.
I'll show you the photo.
Let me see the fucking photo. This show has gotten nowhere near to what we thought the show was going to. Let me see it.
Give me a second.
I was watching a show.
He has this perspective view on what he thinks he needs to look like.
There.
And I'm thinking he's.
There is 176.
You look good there.
I understand I look good, but I don't have the muscle mass that I want. I got no shoulders. I got no arms.
But if you were that lean and strong, it's about being strong,
right?
Not, well, it looked like my shoulders are. Stop.
Just saying.
I'm just saying.
Let's see if I can find the other one where I was like 10 pounds heavier.
All right, let me see.
I was watching a show where it's these two college football players. They got the date mixed up when their weigh-in was, and they had to realize they had to gain a bunch of weight in like just a week.
Oh,
and so you just see him like montage of them just like just stuffing stuff on the couch, and like they're holding each other accountable. Like, no, you got to eat it, bro.
Dude, if you want to just gain weight, just drink ranch out of the bottle. That will put fucking weight on you. It's like 90% fat or some bullshit.
Just go to Buffalo Wild Wings and never leave.
There's that photo on the left. I was 189.
You look good there, too.
So I'm leaner, but I have more muscle, so I weigh more.
Okay, so just go with that.
All I want is that, but 11 pounds more muscle. That's it.
You. The photo you showed me before that, you were 175.
Uh-huh.
That right there is probably your peak.
Don't tell me that.
Dude, you look good.
Don't tell me I peaked.
You look
good. That photo was from January. It's November.
Mitch, that's probably your peak.
Maybe.
Dude, you looked good.
I'm trying.
If you shave that 3 inches of fur off your body, you'd look even fucking better.
You want to get a divorce quick. Shave that stuff.
You know what? I'm not going to talk about anything about divorce. I just, like, you look good there.
Hey. Let's change the subject and actually talk about business.
No, I want to talk about your unrealistic expectations.
Do I need to send these photos to Austin so we can put them on the YouTube version of this?
You fucking should.
So people can see what I'm talking about.
We're talking about it. You bring them up.
All right. All right, we'll do that.
We'll see. That 190.
If you're watching this on YouTube, comment and tell me which photo you think looks better.
The second one looks better.
175 or 189?
No, You're twisting my words around. I'm not saying you didn't look worse than the 189. I'm saying the 189, that's your peak. That's it.
I think I can go 200 and still be that lean.
No.
It's just going to take me a year to put on 11 pounds of muscle.
The number is regardless. That is your peak look.
We'll see. We will see.
Peak look. Do you think if you were that physique but 10 pounds heavier, the picture would look better?
No, I would be satisfied with my results at that point.
You're not satisfied with that 189?
Oh, no, I'm satisfied with that. Sure.
What the? It's like talking to a
hey, wait, hold on.
I'm just being real.
How many classic cars do you have?
One.
Are you satisfied with the one? Do you want more? See?
Well, the next car I want's not a classic, so... I mean,
are you satisfied with the number of cars you have? Do you want more? See, it's okay to be satisfied with where you're at, but still want more.
Sometimes you can't obtain more. I want 20, but I can't afford 20.
Well, that's the challenge, is I'm trying to obtain this without steroids.
So to battle your point, I want 20, but I can't afford 20.
Right.
Okay. So I have to realize my limitations.
I can't afford steroids.
Your limitations are 190.
Nah.
No, I think what drives Mitch, I think you...
Yelling at a fucking raccoon off the back deck, get out of my trash!
I don't think it's actually like a question of physique. I think it's a matter of like you, like a... I think you like getting good at things, not necessarily the thing itself. Like, I think that's like with business, like with your body, with physique and stuff. Like, it's almost like a fun challenge.
Yeah, it's a challenge to have a high level of acumen in anything you do.
Yeah, so I think that's what it is more so than just like the actual like body look and like...
Right.
Strength.
I mean, I could see that, but results speak for themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of...
if you look good and the result speaks for itself, move on to a new project.
Like, I think that's, like, with you in business, I think a lot of your business motivation is you just, like, getting good at business is almost, like, motivation more than the business itself.
Yeah.
Not that it isn't great. It's just, like, I think that's what... I mean, I've been around for 3 years, so I've just...
This is the most random podcast we've had in a long time.
It is
very...
Do you want to talk about something business-wise?
Yeah, let's talk. We're 51.
Let's talk about how to get through tough times. We're 51 minutes into this thing.
I can tell you how to get through tough times. Learn to have friends like Mitch.
Yeah.
You'll be ready for everything.
Yeah. You learn to have friends like Mitch, and you realize you ain't got it so bad.
That's right. Yeah. He's challenging himself on more levels than one.
So in business, you're going to have good times. You're going to have bad times. You're going to have tough times. How do you get through the tough times? Well, your business isn't unique. Your tough times aren't unique. Here's the way to get through tough times. Sales solves all problems. It's really that simple, right? Now, it's simple to say.
Preparation and sales.
Yeah. Yeah, being prepared, financially prepared for tough times, for sure.
Any tough times.
But sales cures all problems in business. Most problems in business have to do with a lack of funding. Well, how do you solve that? Sell more, right?
Yep.
So make sure your pricing is right, but then also make sure your sales is good. We alluded to it earlier in the podcast. People that suck at selling, they don't have a good average ticket, they don't have a good conversion, and they claim that they don't have enough leads. And it's like, dude, you could be making twice as much money with the same lead volume if you just did better at selling.
Yeah.
Sales solves the problems. When
people think they're great salesmen, they're like, well, my conversion rate was 40%. What?
Well, depending on your industry, 40% may be horrible or it may be amazing.
I'm talking about our industry, really. Yeah. Our industries. Like, man, if you just up that to 60%, you realize how much more money you'd be making?
50% more money.
Well, I need more leads. Maybe convert some of those leads.
Right. What's your follow-up game looking like?
Oh, follow-up? You call people after you don't get a sale? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Call people after I don't get the sale and make sure they didn't go to someone else.
Yeah. Make sure that they still aren't looking.
Yeah.
So
it's insane.
If you got 5% more, it'd be worth it to follow up.
Worth it.
A good mentor of mine a long time ago had a saying that in business, nothing good happens until something is sold.
Until you make money. Do you almost yawn again? Yeah, okay, man, a lot of yawns lately. I'm a little worried about you, buddy.
So he used to say nothing good happens till something is sold. And what that means is like the accounting department has nothing to do until they have numbers to account for.
Yeah.
The installers have nothing to do until they have a job to install.
Yeah.
The service department has nothing to do until a job you've installed needs service, right? Your marketing department has no money to work with until something gets sold and you have profit. So sales drives the bus.
Yep.
Now, that doesn't mean you got to go be a ruthless salesman. That doesn't mean you got to go lie, cheat, and steal and all that stuff. There's right ways to sell and there's wrong ways to sell. And most tradespeople have an aversion to selling. And I'm just going to call it like it is. You've got to get the fuck over that.
They do.
You are not selling. You're providing options for a customer to pick what option's best for them. It's that simple. If you feel like you're selling, you might be in the wrong industry.
People that are blue collar and that are in the sales spaces like heating, cooling, electrical, plumbing, right? Mm-hmm. They view everything through a value prism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If it was me, what gets it done and most like it was stock and gets rid of their problem.
Right.
Like that's a value look, right? And so they think that the customer is like them.
Right.
That's what the customer wants. I want to get the problem solved. I want to get on down the road.
Yep.
That doesn't work when you're trying to grow your business and have three or four guys and pay those three or four guys 100 to 125K a year.
Right. There's a lot of guys that say like, oh, I couldn't charge that much, or I just couldn't sell that. I couldn't sell something to somebody that they don't need. Meanwhile, that person that they're defending, that customer they're defending is wearing Jordans and holding a Starbucks.
Yeah. They may want to go to 100 gallons of heat. They may want to go to a Navien tankless and not run out of hot water.
Right.
You don't know their wants.
Right.
So you're short selling yourself right out of the gate because you're just not thinking like they are. You think you are, but you're not.
Right. You're trying to make them think like you. And if they thought like you, they'd fix their own problem. So
that's a good point, dude.
One of the coolest defense mechanisms I learned a long time ago was teaching my guys to never answer the question when a customer asks you, what would you do if it was your home?
I'd fix it myself because I'm a plumber.
I've taught my guys never answer that.
Yeah.
Because you can't answer that honestly.
Yeah.
If it was your home, you wouldn't even fix it. You'd wait till it broke because you have the ability and you have the truck in the driveway to get whatever it is fixed.
Yeah.
Any minute it breaks.
Yeah.
If it breaks at 9:30 at night, you can run out to your truck and you can get it fixed really quick.
Yeah. You can't honestly answer that question.
Right.
I would go with the top option.
So I tell people all the time, like I tell my guys, especially, whenever somebody asks that, you tell them, I can't honestly answer that because I have the tools, the knowledge, and the know-how to fix that. And I have also got the parts in my truck. So
yeah,
I would let that thing run until it broke, but it's no sweat off my back because I can run out to my truck and grab the shit and fix it.
Yeah.
I also know how to turn my water off and I know how to do all this, right? Yeah. But you don't know how to fix it. And so I can't answer what would I do if it was my home. because like the saying, like the shoemaker's kids have no shoes and the plumber's water's not hot.
Yeah, and the builder's house is never finished.
Yeah. It's true from the standpoint. The reason why is because they have the ability to do it. They just don't value it. But the builder values his customers and their customers value a finished house. So you can't ever ask the builder, what would you do if it's your home? Because they'd never have quarter round down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No,
the builder's house is never finished.
This is so great. You picked quarter round down.
Because I have a room in my house with no quarter round.
That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Mitch has had new hardwood floor, quote unquote new.
For like 4 years.
6 years ago. Yeah. That he never put quarter round down over after you replaced it.
Yeah. Pulled the carpet up. Didn't time. Have quarter round. Put the hardwood down. And
he's
never
told me four times. I'm like, Mitch, you know, you told me that, right?
Yeah. But like, that's why you can't honestly answer that question. And that's why you can't honestly say, I could never do that to customers. The moment you see a technician saying, I couldn't sell a customer something that they don't need. And meanwhile, that customer's driving a car that's much nicer than they need, in a home that's much nicer than they need,
yeah,
in a yard that's more manicured than it needs to be.
You think they really need a 90-inch TV?
Right.
No, they don't.
Right.
But they were at Best Buy, and the Best Buy guy was like, hey, we have a 70, 80, and 90. What would you prefer?
Yeah, what do you want?
What do you want?
Right.
He didn't force them and twist their arm to get them to buy the 90.
Right.
He said, we have X, Y, and Z. Pick whatever you want.
Yeah.
Not need. What do you want?
Nobody needs a bidet that's going to wash and dry and cleanse their ass. Right? But people buy them because they like them. They want them. It's a luxury.
Yeah.
What do you call it? The income or money perspective? How it's like someone's perspective of money can be way different than yours.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And it really has less to do with income and more to do on the things that they value. Right? Because I've seen some rich motherfuckers walking around in holy jeans that don't look like it. I've also seen some broke motherfuckers walking around in the best get up ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And chances are, if you got a $1,000 outfit, you probably don't have the money to back it up. And that guy that's got a $4 outfit probably has more money than you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like, it took me a long time to realize, I say a long time, maybe in my 30s. Janine's dad, for example, just like me, blue collar, don't give an F. I'm wearing jeans that I've had for 6 years right now.
Right.
That I've worked in. I worked in them today, wore them over to your house. I don't care.
Right.
He literally would go to, on purpose, would wear the holiest, nastiest jeans, and he'd go buy F-350s, diesels, with cash, looking like complete ass.
Yep.
Because it didn't matter to him.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't. The fact that we try to, I want to say pigeonhole, but that's not right. But like, we want to feel like we know the customer's perspective is just like, that's the first thing we have to get over.
Yeah.
Because you don't know it. You have no clue that grandpa that's 85 that you feel bad for, his front door's falling off, that you're in there. That dude might be worth $4 million.
Yeah.
He just don't care about the front door.
Dude.
It's amazing, especially. It's weird in blue collar towns, especially like outside of big cities like ours, those people are everywhere.
Yeah.
That just like, you wouldn't know it. They die. And you're like, oh, the guy was worth $12 million, blah, 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 blah. And like, man, I couldn't get that guy to replace his fucking faucet.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah. I've got a friend of mine. It's not a friend, the former friend. They used to be friends. Now he's kind of a bad guy, but,
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
After podcast.
His grandma passed away. And his grandma was like 94. And
mine's still kicking, 96.
He had always heard. So his grandma became friends with a guy who had a
12-inch. Oh.
No.
Sorry, what? Go
became
ahead.
Friends with a guy who had like a store, like a convenience kind of store.
Okay.
And for some reason, she just became enamored with this guy. It's kind of like that great boss that you just do anything for, and she would just do anything for him. And he wanted to start selling hula hoops in his store.
Oh.
And so he saved money by getting the hula hoops unassembled. And basically a hula hoop is a plastic tube with a cork.
Yeah.
And then it's stapled. They run the plastic tube. They bend it around on itself and run each end over the cork. And then they staple it to the cork.
Yeah.
And he was able to get these things for like half off if he got them unassembled. And she assembled like hundreds of hula hoops for him. And anytime she would do anything extra, he would always tell her, like, I'll make sure you're taken care of. I'll take care of you. and the family never saw it. And they thought this guy was like taking advantage of her. Okay. This is a true story, by the way.
Okay. I believe you.
Yeah. And so, the family began to later on think that this guy's a kind of a piece of shit and he's just taking advantage of her. The guy's name was Sam Walton, owner of Walmart.
So this is an old story.
Well, she's old. I mean, she's passed away now.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
This was grandma.
Gotcha. Okay? This is when they were younger.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the guy's name was Sam Walton. And when grandma passed away, they started going through grandma's things and they found a chest with a whole bunch of stock bond notes.
Oh,
and
shit.
And that's how he paid her. He paid her in Walmart stock for all of these extra things that he did for her.
She got like $80 million.
She's a multi-millionaire.
And she didn't even care.
Lived in like a one-room house.
Didn't even give a fuck.
Had all those things just sitting in a chest.
Yeah.
And the family's like, oh my God. So now the family's filthy. Even though they were bad-mouthing her, saying this guy's taking advantage of you, you need to get away from this guy. Like, they didn't realize it. She set the whole family up for financial success forever.
Yeah.
So
must be nice.
Must be nice, right?
Yeah. To be a piece of shit and then get paid must be nice in that situation.
Right. Right.
I found two of those in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. But ultimately we never know where other people are at. And so you have to be really careful on trying to spend their money for them. It's your job to provide the options. It's your job to use your professionalism and guide them as to what options are workable and what options aren't. And then it's their job to pick an option that works best for them.
Yeah. They can always pick the lower option.
Yeah.
But if you don't, how do I say this? If all you're ever doing is providing them the value option to get by, you will not be a great salesman.
Right.
You will not make enough money to roll and grow your business.
Right.
Can you get by and make a paycheck? Of course you can.
Right.
But if your goal is to have 3 employees, 4 employees, 5 employees, if you're only providing the value option, you're not going to make it.
You're not going to grow. Right.
You're not going to make it.
It takes profit to grow.
Yeah.
Right. Profit. And profit's not a dirty word.
Mitch is stealing my fucking sayings. Yeah. Profit is not a dirty word. You're right. I mean, it is what it is. Profit is what grows businesses. And what grows businesses provides for other families.
Right.
Like, it just is what it is. That's the natural landscape that is business.
What's funny is the guys that gripe, like, it's usually, like, guys will have, like, it's a three-legged stool that these guys that are afraid to sell land on. Well, I can't grow my business because I don't have money. Well, I can't treat people that way.
It's the reverse three-legged stool, yeah.
Yeah, like, I can't treat people that way. I got to sleep at night. Right. And then you ask them, like, if I handed you $50,000, what would you do? Oh, I'd get a new truck and I'd get a new shop and I'd probably invest a little bit in marketing and everything else. And it's so it doesn't matter what they would spend it on. The moment they say they would spend it on the business tells you, OK, if you had money, you would do good stuff with it. It's literally a choice to not have money at that point.
Yeah. 100%.
Right? So sales solves all problems and nothing good happens until something is sold. The other thing to do when you come across tough times is to stop spending money. Most people think they have to keep spending all the money that they were spending. Like I'm very in tune with the overhead costs of my business. The overhead costs of my business are within a $4,000 window every month. That's insurance, that's salaries, that's Austin's salary, that's truck payments, that's car insurance, that's automotive costs, you know, tires and windshield washer fluid and oil changes and fuel and everything
to keep it running.
And in a big, like to have as much as we, so that is within 10% each month.
Okay.
My overhead costs run between $51,000 and $55,000 each month. Okay.
$51,000 and $55,000
each month.
You're talking payroll too.
Payroll, everything.
Okay.
We're talking total overhead.
I thought
of the
you were talking above payroll. I thought you meant like the accoutrement at the end after payroll. Okay.
No.
I'm sorry.
We're talking total everything. Phones, insurance, everything. Right.
Okay. Gotcha.
Now I know that if times get tough and I have a bad month,
who's the first one fired?
It's not a matter of firing.
Gutter.
It's so like we pay our parts
I'm
bill
kidding.
Like twice a month, right? And so in other words, I'm paying it early.
Yeah.
But I know that if times get tough, I could call a vendor and say, hey, I'm going to need terms on my parts bill. I can't pay it this month. And my vendor would be like, dude, you've paid it ahead of schedule for like every month you've ever been with us.
We got you.
We got you. Yeah. Right. So like, it's not saying stop spending money and screw people over. It's stop spending money to make sure you've got enough money to make payroll and you got enough money to make profit.
Do you, right? Do you have a, let me just ask you, what is your contingent plan in those areas? First thing is net 30.
Yeah.
First thing is net 30. I switch and I'm, hey,
yep.
I'm going to pay you when I normally do and not early.
Yeah.
That's your first one.
We've had to do that two or three times that I'm aware of in business. We may have had to do it more and Danielle just didn't tell me because that's Danielle's area and I leave that to her and she always does really well.
Yeah. And if there was an issue, she'd be like, hey, babe.
Right.
Like we've done this, but what do we do now?
And so just like on the up months, you got to stack that money away. On the down months, you got to be able to either dive into your stack or not pay bills or maybe even both.
Do you have a, I always kept an extra amount of money in the bank account for, hey, what if?
Yeah.
Like, do you have that?
We do, but it's
mine was only 10 grand. Like yeah. It was just me. So
we have a minimum that we try to keep in the bank, but I also have some other lines of credit that I can bounce off to if I need. And so when you have the lines of credit, if you need, then it allows you to take your stack of cash and deploy it in the business for good instead of just sitting on cash and it not doing anything.
Yeah. You're talking HELOC. So,
yeah.
HELOC, lots of guys will use, I had the 10K cash and then my business credit card, like it was $18,000 limit. So I always knew I've got the 10K cash and I have the $18,000 limit. So I've got $28,000.
Right.
I'm a one man show. If that don't help, like I'm in serious fucking trouble.
Right.
You know, that was my net.
The last thing that you can focus on when things get tough is your circle of influence. In other words, I'm going to say there's two more things that you can focus on. The circle of influence. In other words, what can you effectively control and what do you have no control over? Once you identify things that you don't have any control over, ignore them. Forget about them. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Right?
That's just living for free in your brain. It doesn't have any traction.
So like we've had three no-fault accidents in the last 3 months in our company.
Oh, I didn't even bring up the – I forgot about the accidents.
Right? So like these are – like one, a lady hit us on the – the city highway here in I say highway, but it's stoplights, right?
Was it 40 or 7?
7.
7.
Lady hit us here in town. Not our fault, right?
Yeah.
And she paid the bill.
And she owned up.
She owned up. She paid for the repairs. I still was without a van for a while.
Yeah.
Another, same van, actually, piece of furniture comes off of a truck on the highway in front of him.
It's so funny.
And he center punches that piece of furniture. It's either that or like swerve and hit cars.
He did the right thing.
He did the right thing. Yeah. But knocks the van out of commission. I'm without a van for a month, right? So I can either gripe and complain about that, or it's like, dude, I don't have any control over that. I wasn't behind the wheel. I don't know. What's happened's already happened. So like, why complain about it, right? And then a deer jumps out in front of our e-transit.
Man.
And
was it a buck or just some stupid doe?
Don't even know. Damn. So no scratches on the truck, but deer hair everywhere, no blood on the truck either, but deer hair everywhere and totally fucked up the front of my truck.
First off, that deer's walking around right now laughing.
Yeah, probably.
Like, fuck that smelly truck up.
Yeah.
Dude, they're tough.
Fixed pipes, pet dogs. What about deer? So I got another van that's in the shop, right? And it's circle of influence stuff. I can't control that. All I can do is recognize, okay, I got a $500 deductible I got to pay, and I got to figure out a way to do business without the van.
Yeah.
That's within my control.
Yeah.
But the fact that a deer jumped out in front of my guy didn't like crash and die and everything. Like, let's just be thankful.
Didn't hit
like,
any other vehicles. Yeah, let's talk about that. Or drive off the road and roll it or something stupid.
Right. Like in the grand scheme of things, we
you're dodging bullets, right?
Yeah.
Now.
We controlled what we could.
Bullets. Yeah.
And now we're just managing the rest. Right. But you know, if when COVID comes in and shuts everything down, that's out of your control. You got to figure out a way to handle what's in your control. You can't control that, right? If there's a massive power outage in your city and you can't go to customers' houses and work because you need electricity, it's out of the fact that you're out of electricity is out of your control. Now, if you have a generator or whatever else, yeah, that's within your control. Go handle that. But let's say one of your employees gets hurt. Maybe your best guy breaks a leg and gets hurt and he's off work for 6 weeks. That's out of your control. So don't worry about that. Focus on how you're going to overcome it, right? And the circle of influence thing is a big thing that affects more people than they actually know. You'll see videos like short form reels and TikToks and stuff where Like I saw one recently and it sums up my family perfectly.
That can't
because
be good.
it's like a selfie video of a wife. She's on a plane and the captions on the video were like, you know, this flight took off an hour and a half late. It leaves us 14 minutes to make our connecting flight. I'm freaking out. Meanwhile, my husband is sleeping because he's chalked it up to situations out of our control. And if it happens, it happens.
That's 100% correct for you guys, too.
Right, right. It's our house. That's probably a lot of people's houses. But the husband's exactly right in that video. You can't control how fast the plane's going to land. You can't control the traffic in the airport. You're either going to make your flight or you're not. Don't freak out about it. Freaking out about it's not going to help anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
you're talking next level.
Yeah.
Some people can't do that.
Yeah.
Some people can't set that shit aside.
The other thing that I'll tell you for how to get through tough times is write down 10 things that you would do right now to go drum up work. And these have to be 10
talked
actual
about this morning. Was it this morning?
So I was on a coaching call recently.
Yeah. It was last night.
I did this in my business when I started my business. I had a list of 10 things I would do to drum up work. You know, interacting on social media was one of them. Asking prior customers for their recommendation, calling prior customers and saying, like following up with them 5 days later and saying, hey, is that water heater I put in still working for you? Cool. Hey, do you know of anybody that needs a plumber?
Or do you have any other issues?
Yeah. Do you have any other issues? Right.
If anything else is driving you crazy? Just want to let you know.
Those are things that need to be
happy
on your list.
Help you.
Right. Door hangers were on my list. Walking into gas stations, believe it or not, walking into gas stations, using their restroom, and then asking to speak to the manager and giving them my card to address any issues I found while in their restroom was on my list.
First off, every gas station has 8 fucking plumbing problems.
Right.
They suck.
Right.
God, they're awful.
And their manager also has discretionary amounts that they're allowed to spend without calling corporate. So like, if you can get that problem fixed for under that amount, it's a free job. Then the manager's happy to spend it, right? Yeah. It sounds silly. One of the things on my list was making a Smedley plumbing sign and going and standing on the busiest intersection in town and literally sign spinning. And I never had to resort to that.
I'm fairly shameless. Like I don't know if I'd do it.
Yeah. I
can do a lot of things.
Yeah. So where I came up with this list of 10 was a long time ago. I read the book 10X by Grant Cardone, and Grant Cardone is a person. I don't know if I like him,
douche.
But Grant Cardone is having business advice and how to scale your business. He has really good advice. And so, Grant Cardone talks about a guy who was trying to get Grant's advice in business. And so he calls Grant up on a Sunday morning and says, he sends Grant a text and is like, hey, I'm struggling in my business. Do you have time today for a phone call? I could really use a pep talk. And so Grant's like, yeah, I'm at church. I'll call you when I'm done. And so Grant gets done. It's about noon, calls up his buddy and says, hey, what do you got going on? He goes, oh, nothing. I'm just watching the game. And Grant's like, what do you mean you're watching the game? You literally just said your business is in dire need of help.
And you're watching the game. And you're wasting time.
Right.
Doing nothing.
And so, you know, it goes along the lines of you can't want more for people than they want for themselves, but also recognize what's in your control. What's in your control is turn the fucking game off and go strategize your business. Go solve problems. Go down your accounts receivable list and call and collect some money, right? Like there's a bunch of ways that you can affect your business trajectory today. You can answer
today. Haven't had one of those in a while.
It's been a minute. The fastest way, if you're in business for a while and you've got people that owe you money, the fastest way to get through a tough time is you call them up and you say, pay your fucking bill.
Dude.
Right.
How many times have we talked to TradeWinds? Guys, call. It's been 3 weeks. What are you fucking doing?
We need to do this again.
Call them the fuck up. Where's my money?
Well, I may do this in the beginning of December in TradeWinds. We did this exercise in TradeWinds. We posted on our Facebook group.
We have Dan Antonelli, the first group though.
I know. Okay. I don't know what I may just do it through the Facebook group. I posted in the Facebook group for everybody to comment what their current accounts receivable balance is.
Oh, yeah.
And then I told them, start with the biggest number, the biggest violator on your list, and start calling them. And let's see, in 24 hours, let's see how much money we can recover just within the TradeWinds organization.
Yeah.
And within TradeWinds, it was like $80,000.
Yeah.
Was recovered in 24 hours.
A year and a half ago. Yeah. Yeah.
$80,000 was recovered just from people calling people that owe them money.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's so crazy to me. People that have the balls, and I'm not calling out any of our guys, but people that have the balls to be out on their own, be in business for themselves, do all this work and put money out on the hook, are then afraid.
Yeah.
Or nervous that they're going to piss somebody off by calling them and calling their account due.
Yeah.
Like, get your money, man.
My account's receivable.
All the hard work. Get the last part is the easiest part. Get your fucking money, boys.
My account's receivable right now is under $400. It's in the low threes.
You know what mine is?
Zero.
Zero.
Right.
Well, you have guys getting in 10-foot holes and walking across balluses, and all of a sudden they're just like, well, I'm scared to ask.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're in a 10-foot hole like 10 minutes ago.
And what are you afraid to ask for? You did your job.
Yeah.
You agreed to a price. You put in the work. You put in the labor. You took all the risk. It's not like you're owed the money. At this point, that guy's the asshole. You're not the asshole for asking.
Yeah.
That guy's the asshole for not holding up his end of the job.
I don't want to make him mad and not get any more work. Well, if you're doing work for free, what's the damn point?
Right, right.
Like, you're not making any money anyway.
Right. And so I've got one dirtbag landlord that owes us $238, and we'll never see it.
Do I get half if I get it?
Sure.
Dude, text me your number. Text me information.
So then
I got nothing to do. I'm looking for shit to do.
About 2 months ago, Cold Stone Creamery called us and they had a leak under their sink. And
let's take Layla's soccer team there for ice cream and then stiff them.
Stiff them, right?
Yeah.
So they called up. They said, we want an estimate to get the leak fixed under our sink. So we charge them a trip charge. We go out there, we diagnose what's wrong, and we give them the repair price. The repair price was like $400 or $500. It wasn't anything crazy. But the owners of these franchises here, they own like 13 or 18 of these.
Yeah.
They were like, that's insane. That's crazy high price. We're not doing that. And oh, by the way, we actually canceled your visit. So we're not even going to pay your trip charge. And it's like, hold on. You canceled our visit, but you let us walk in the front door and get behind the counter and analyze everything.
Yeah, that's
and
how you get stabbed in the neck with a pen.
Right. And so she ended up trying to get nasty with Danielle on the phone, and she was like, I canceled it, and I record all the phone calls. And Danielle's like, I did too. So if you can send me a recording where you canceled it, then I'll happily waive the trip charge. And of course she can't,
of
right?
Course
and we send her the recordings that we have. And so then she tries to pay with a credit card, and the credit card declines. Go figure. And so then she says she's going to put a check in the mail. We know that's not going to happen. And it's only $89. But here's how much I manage my AR is I'm literally about ready to go order $90 in ice cream from Cold Stone.
I will take those girls up there.
Because they make it all, and then you pay for it. Yeah. And it's sitting right there before you pay for it.
I will literally hand those girls ice cream and then go, okay, girls, let's get out of here.
Yep.
And then I'll look her in the face and be like, hey.
I never ordered this.
That's actually not true. I wouldn't say that. I'd go, do you remember when Smedley Plumbing came in here and fixed on your all sink?
Yeah.
And all the girls would be like, no, we don't. You tell your boss.
Yeah.
The Smedley Plumbing came in here and fixed their sink.
That's why this $90 bill ain't getting paid.
And that's why I'm taking this fucking ice cream. Fuck that bitch.
Yeah.
You can tell her to go. $90
somewhere or the other,
and
right?
And then Danielle's going to get a call.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, this some guy named Dave came in here and was mean to my girls. And they're like, yeah, well, that's about right.
Yeah. Yeah. Call it even?
All right. Yeah, call it even or no, bitch.
All right.
I think Kayla
and I
will
give you the $90 for the ice cream.
Yeah.
Kayla and I will gladly join the soccer team for that.
Of course you would. I don't think Austin liked confrontation.
No. Yeah. Austin's avoids it. And well, Austin will avoid it until he puts his foot down.
Do you like confrontation?
How do you know I don't like confrontation?
Because your wife's in the back shaking her head that you don't like confrontation. I can see her. She's right there.
How do you guys know I don't like confrontation?
I've never seen you in a confrontation.
Mitch knows
how many hours do you see me a week?
I still know of you, just like you know of me for 3 years.
Do you, let's get into it. Do you like confrontation?
I like a mild amount of confrontation.
What's a mild amount? That's a subjective term.
I mean, like, I do business. I do side jobs. I ask for money.
So, no.
Your wife's in the back cool like this. So, no. Austin, you're a nice person. That's why.
It's okay to not like confrontation. Yeah.
I don't
You're
think
a
anyone
nice person, man.
I don't think anyone truly I don't think there's any one person that's like, oh, I wake up in the morning, I just love confrontation. There's a few people.
I feed on it.
Really?
When confrontation comes, I'm like, my adrenaline rolls a little bit, and I'm like, I love this.
I'll tell you what.
I also have a lot of problems mentally.
Without conflict, there is no progress. It's that simple.
Yeah, either with yourself or someone else. That's probably true.
It's still, there's still conflict.
That way. Yeah.
Without conflict, true. There is zero progress.
I mean,
right?
I do enough conflict to get to progress in life. I will say that. I'm not going to just be like, well, that just is what it is. I'm just going to not make any more money.
It's not a bad thing, Austin.
Yeah. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying I do enough.
Dude, it's not a bad thing.
I don't go out looking for it. I'm like, man, who am I going to just conflict today? I'm like, I do enough to make for sure.
Dude, when I'm out on the road and I'm like, if this guy cuts me off, I'm going to fuck his day up. Like, I'm looking, like, I think it's going to happen, and I'm, like, a little excited about it.
Austin's turning around like, what are you doing throwing me under the bus?
No, she's not.
Yes, she was.
I actually go out looking for conflict, but it's not bad conflict. It's not negative conflict. It's constructive conflict, right?
Like, there is a difference. You are correct.
So, like, you know, the guy who can run a 4-minute mile. Does he want it? Like, let's go back where we started.
Is that a thing? A 4-minute mile? God damn.
4-minute mile was impossible. Everyone said it's impossible until somebody did it. And then after somebody did it, like four people did it right after that.
I can do a 650 on the elliptical where I don't actually have to push my body weight forward. And I think I'm going to die.
Yeah. The fastest mile I've ever run was like 9 minutes and 58 seconds.
Like, not to get off topic, but I love you. Your cardio sucks.
No, yeah.
It's awful, bro.
It's not good.
I don't know how you ski.
Yeah.
Well, skiing's probably okay.
Skiing's leg strength.
Are you going to snowboard this year?
I don't know yet.
Your cardio is not enough in shape to snowboard. I can tell you that right now.
No, my cardio's fine. I just don't want to get my bell rung. Catch a backside edge and
who cares?
Bam.
You want to live or not? Your boy wants to snowboard.
I don't want to live as a vegetable.
I'm going to be honest with you right now.
I don't need CTE.
I don't know if I can handle me snowboarding, Layla snowboarding, and Grant snowboarding on my own.
I don't know if Grant's, I'll have to check and see.
He wants to, but to be honest, I think he's a little jealous that Layla does it.
Yeah, maybe.
Not in a bad way, just of.
Throw him in ski school.
I want to do that.
Yeah. So.
We talked about a lot of weird shit today.
We did. So. Ultimately, to get through tough times, remember, sales solves all problems. Nothing good happens till something is sold. Stop spending money. Focus on your profit.
No yawning.
Circle of influence. In other words, focus on what you can control and ignore what you can't. And then write down a list of 10 things you can do to drum up work. You do those and the tough times will seem shallower, right? But to quote a great movie, Blow, when you're up, it's never as good as it seems. And when you're down, you're never think you'll be up again. Right?
That's right.
So tough times don't last forever. One of the best quotes of any kind of leadership, parenting, business ownership, or anything is this too shall pass. Right? So
yeah,
you can
Nothing's
have a great
forever.
Month. Yeah, you can have a great month followed by a shitty month. Well, guess what? That shitty month ain't going to last forever. Eventually, you're going to have a great one.
You could have three shitty months in a row, but that fourth, watch out. If you're doing all due diligence, it's not going to last forever.
Right.
It's going to come around.
Circle of influence is probably one of the more important ones there. Focusing on what you can control. If you can't control your lead volume, focus on what you're doing with the leads.
Yeah.
So.
I knew it was coming.
It's coming. I've tried to swallow it down forever.
That's what she said.
Oh, boy. I couldn't pull those words back if I wanted to. That was bad.
They were out so quick.
He's been setting me up for weeks.
Yeah.
Weeks.
That one was bad.
The coaching calls have been even worse. I haven't been taking advantage of all of them.
Dude.
Like, once in a while, I'm getting one out.
His screen just goes black. Like, it freezes every time he does it.
So, yesterday, there's a thing on the calendar that says shave cat. My wife put it on there. And I'm like, and it's at 3.
Like, this is where I can help out.
Yeah,
in the house.
I'm like, oh, yeah, it's on.
He walks in with no shirt on. Hey, babe, what's going on? She's at the desk.
I walk in the house about.
She's looking at him. What the fuck's the matter with you?
I walk in the house about 3:20 thinking it's about ready to be on. Nope. She's actually like, she's got somebody over and they're shaving our cat. So. Yeah, that's a read a little too far into that calendar
people
invite.
People don't understand what it's like to be friends with you. It's exactly like this podcast. It's just chaos.
Yeah, Yeah, it's 24/7 chaos.
It's 24/7. I don't know how you guys do it. I mean, I can't say this. There's never a dull moment in this house.
If you want an exciting life, try to live your life like a sitcom, and you will. That's pretty much our life.
Sitcoms hope they're as good as yours, as your house is. they're like, you know what we need to be? The Smedley fucking household. That's what we need to go for.
It's like Roseanne around here 24/7. It's a combination of Roseanne, Home Improvement, and the Griswolds.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't killed a cat under a tree or a sofa or a recliner
yet. Need to get rid of them fucking cats, dog.
I'm trying.
But what? But my wife rules the roost?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
I wear whatever pants she tells me to put on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Every time I come over here, I'm like, there's going to be one less cat over here. Nope. Sometimes there's an extra one.
Not anymore. We're beyond that.
Never seen an old crazy cat lady married with two kids.
You know, crazy cat lady is actually a real thing.
Yes. Yes.
Like, no, clinical diagnosis.
Yeah. If something happened to you, what do you think she would be? Like, I don't want to. I'm not bashing Danielle.
No, I don't mean stereotype. I mean legit. People that have a lot of cats, humans actually contract toxoplasmosis, which fucks with your brain.
I have no. You're way over my head at this point.
Time to look it up.
You want your toy back?
Toxoplasmosis. It's an infection or a parasite.
It's like, tell me the podcast is over without telling me the podcast is over.
It's a common parasite found in cat feces. Most people with the infection don't have symptoms, but it can cause serious diseases for pregnant women, infants, and people with weakened immune systems.
What crazy cat lady syndrome is, I bought 15 cats.
Well,
like they are crazy before they get the cats.
But how do you think you get
they're crazy before they decide to get the cats.
They're crazy. And
you
let's be
die
honest.
Tomorrow, there's 8 more fucking cats in here next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your boys are like, Dave, can we come stay with you? I'm like, yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't bring a cat.
It fucks with their brain. Makes them think weird. Makes them crazy. So, yeah.
You know what? Next topic? Maybe. Maybe. We'll talk crazy cat lady stuff. It's
crazy cat lady.
Crazy cat lady stuff.
I think I had 27 cats in my house at one time when Daniel was fostering them.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. No, I'm serious. Yeah, this is before we finished
the
basement.
Can you spell enabler? Because that's what
it was her little passion project.
Enabler. You didn't have the balls to look her in the eye and go, you're crazy right now? You can't have 28 cats in here. You were enabling.
She didn't. She had 27. That's different.
Whatever.
It was over 20. I remember that.
Dude, if you need to borrow a shotgun, just ask.
These were kittens. She was fostering them.
I don't care. Food, it doesn't matter how big they were.
Food and medical care were covered, and we had kittens running around the house 24/7. I think we got them all out.
I didn't think I
might
could.
Might be one on the ductwork.
I don't want to say that I just lost respect for you, but I did.
I've done my job.
I love you the
Podcast
same.
Podcast can be over now.
I love you the
Finally,
same.
Finally, my goodness.
Dave's lost a little respect. Podcast can be over.
So, I love you guys. Oh, my right. God.
If this show taught you anything, I'd be surprised if it did. But if it did, feel free to share the show. Also, if you've made it this far, go ahead and hit back on your phone screen one more time and give this show a like or a reaction or a thumbs up or a 5-star review or something. And
if you made it this far,
you'll go just a touch further and leave us a review. So,
oh my God, bro.
Until next week, guys, we will see you later.